live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach tells the Dáil there is no question of cross-border travel being banned, but Leo Varadkar says the same restrictions that govern inter-county travel within the state also cover Northern Ireland. One Donegal-based GP says while sealing the border isn't a feasible suggestion, more controls need to be put in place. The HSC's clinical lead for infection control acknowledges there is a significant COVID-19 issue at Letterkenny University Hospital, but Martin Cormican says the hospital and the local community are effectively one entity. And the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, has been giving evidence to the Dáil about the Justice Wolfe affair. We'll have a full report. Later in the bulletin, of course, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. And because it's a Thursday, Chris Ashmore is going to be here today with farming news and views. We begin with Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, telling the Dáil today there is no question of cross-border travel being banned. But Leo Varadkar said the same restrictions that cover inter-county travel within the state also cover Northern Ireland. Mr. Varadkar said at present, inter-county travel is only permissible for work, education or to care for a relative. He said it's hoped that may be relaxed closer to Christmas, denying suggestions that he wants to effectively close the border. Mr. Varadkar told the Dáil that is not under discussion.
There is no question of there being an outright travel ban between North and South. It's not under consideration, not being discussed, period. We don't have a travel ban. With Poland, we're certainly not going to have one with Northern Ireland. However, as we move from level 5 to level 3, which we hope to do next week, inter-county travel will still be restricted and will only be allowed for work, school or essential purposes like caring for an elderly relative. So that means that inter-county travel, including cross-border travel for shopping or for visiting friends and relatives, will not be allowed. We do hope to be in a position to advise people that they can travel between counties, including Northern Ireland, to visit friends and relatives closer to Christmas, but that will depend on the epidemiological data then. At the moment, the rates of COVID in Northern Ireland are much higher than they are here, but in 2 weeks' time, that might look very different because restrictions are being reimposed there and relaxed here, and we'll make a decision on inter-county travel, including Northern Ireland, nearer to Christmas.
Well, the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, says she believes Mr. Varadkar went on a solo run at his own parliamentary party meeting, but was subsequently shut down by the Taoiseach. She says any suggestion that the border should be sealed would betray an ill-informed opinion on how people live in border areas.
They come, they go, they act responsibly, and they need to be treated with respect. So I think as to the Taoiseach's comments, though, the Taoiseach has scotched those. It's clearly not the government position. So I think it was just Leo thinking out loud again.
However, Lifford-based GP Dr. Martin Coyne says while sealing the border isn't a feasible suggestion, there should be more controls in place.
Nobody around here, certainly Lifford, wants to lock down the border. But I just do think we have to make it a little bit inconvenient to travel over to Strabane for our Derry for frivolous reasons. I mean, we should have Gardaí on the bridge every single day, 24 hours a day, saying, where are you going and why are you going there?
In Northern Ireland, 8 COVID-19-related deaths have been reported today with 442 new cases of coronavirus. The death toll now stands at 962, while there have been more than 51,000 cases since the start of the pandemic. Today's figures come ahead of new restrictions being imposed in the north from tomorrow. A second two-week circuit breaker will come into effect in a bid to stop the spread of the virus. The HSE's clinical lead for infection control has acknowledged that there is a very significant COVID-19 issue in Letterkenny University Hospital and more work needs to be done to control it. However, Professor Martin Cormican is warning that both the hospital and the local community are effectively one entity. He told today's 9 till noon show that the high rates of community transition in Donegal are affecting the hospital.
One of the challenges that Letterkenny as a hospital faces is that it's serving a community with a very high rate. Every patient who is in any hospital, wherever that hospital is a person from the community they live in. And every staff member who works in a hospital, wherever that hospital is a member of the community that they live in. The hospital isn't something you can hermetically seal away from the community. So the community and the hospital are not separate things. And if you've got a high rate of community transmission, trying to seal off the hospital becomes extremely difficult.
The Thánaiste Leo Varadkar told the Justice Minister Helen McEntee that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge in the build-up to his appointment in the Supreme Court. Helen McEntee told the Dáil that Mr. Varadkar made the remark when they initially discussed the vacancy on the court. Little correspondent Sean Defoe has been looking at today's proceedings in Dáil Éireann.
Helen McEntee came before the Dáil this afternoon to address questions about how she'd appointed Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe. But Thánaiste Leo Varadkar has become embroiled in this controversy now after the minister told the Dáil this.
I did have a conversation informally with my colleague and with the Thánaiste. He informed me himself that there was a vacancy. He also informed me, or I suppose gave a view, that he thought Seamus Wolfe would be a good judge.
That was before Helen McEntee was given the names of five sitting judges looking for appointment to the job. Leo Varadkar didn't comment on any of those names and previously told the Dáil he was never told who they were. Minister Helen McEntee says she then went away and considered all of the candidates before making a recommendation to Cabinet, but she admitted there is no official departmental criteria for weighing one candidate above another.
I do not have a list, I do not have boxes that I tick. It's not given to me. I have to use my judgment, and I do apply my own set of criteria.
There's a feeling now in Leinster House that this is far from drawing a line under the issue, with one minister saying it ripped up the government narrative and has escalated the controversy to Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin.
Garthy have arrested a man in connection with an attempted armed robbery at Clonmany Post Office. The incident happened earlier this month. The suspect was apprehended at a checkpoint earlier this week. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Shortly after 5 o'clock on Wednesday evening, November the 11th, a man entered Clonmany Post Office, produced what was believed to be a handgun and demanded money. A post office worker retreated to a back room and raised the alarm. The man left the scene empty-handed. Garthy responded immediately to the activation of the panic alarm. At past five on Tuesday evening of this week, a man was arrested at an Operation Fannacht checkpoint in Bridgend in connection with the incident. The man, who is in his early 60s, is currently being detained up on Crannan Garda Station under Section 30 of the Offences Against the State Act. Gardaí have been working closely with the PSNI in relation to this incident, and they are assisting in the investigation. Inquiries are ongoing.
A planning application for new security features at Garten Estate has been withdrawn. The application lodged by Donegal ETB sought to erect gates and a fence around parts of the Garten Outdoor Education and Training Centre. The proposal had sparked major concern among members of the local community who use the amenity regularly. Councillor Michael McBride says the decision to reverse the application will bring relief to residents in the area. He's hopeful that future public consultation with the community will result in a plan that's in everyone's best interests.
In the short term, I've been talking to the County Council and to the ETB, and I've been informed that the ETB has decided to withdraw their planning application for the fencing and gates at Garten.
It was widely thought that if public consultation were to take place, there may be some sort of an agreement that suits everyone can be reached. Do you feel that's still possible?
I'm sure that's very possible. I think it's always good to have some communication between local groups, you know, and places like the ETB's facility at Garten. I suppose from a local point of view, it's been there for years and years. The local community have had the use of it. And I suppose, you know, when it's taken away, people just wonder what's coming next. And they always want the freedom to be able to go down there to use it. Hopefully, you know, going forward, there will be some solutions found that will be workable for everybody.
And that was Councillor Michael McBride there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. Assurances have been given that funding for Buncrana Leisure Centre has been set aside in Donegal County Council's capital budget. The capital budget is due to be adopted on Monday and includes the necessary monies to progress the project. Initial plans were to refurbish the current facility, which has been closed to the public for several years. However, it recently emerged it'll cost less to knock the existing building and replace it with a new state-of-the-art centre. Councillor Jack Murray says he's relieved the leisure centre is being prioritised. He hopes it'll be up and running by 2022.
Possibly could see it in 2022 completed and opened. That's all going well, because I know it has been a painfully and frustratingly slow process, and people have begun to lose faith. But I want to reassure people that the councillors have been shown, all parties and none, are fighting tooth and nail to get this delivered over the line.
staying in Inishowen and the Burnfoot Flood Relief Scheme is now open to public consultation, but there are fears it'll be several years before it's complete. It's over 3 years since the devastating floods of August 2017, with Park na Gaoine estate completely washed out at the time. Affected residents haven't been able to return to their homes since. It's estimated it'll be 2025 before flood defence measures are complete in the area, meaning those affected will be out of their homes for a minimum of 8 years. Kathleen Malloy, a resident, says despite the houses not being impacted since by flooding, she has accepted that she will never return to her home. At this stage, she says, she feels defeated.
The only thing that happened was there during the summer, after all the years, they built a wooden fence, first of all, round the houses, but now they have replaced it by a tin structure, which is more durable, of course, and will last longer. So that in itself isn't very promising that it's going to be taken down, is it? And then there was some vandalism, and Declan, my husband, emailed the council direct on a couple of occasions himself, and weren't acknowledged or anything. So then we went through Pádraig McLoughlin, and Pádraig got a response from the council, but they said they had checked it out. And they found what actually happened was, to our own face, was that there was the garden gate was missing. It was missing. I presume somebody just dumped it because it wasn't going to be of any use to anybody. And next door, the window of the shed was broken. So the council got back onto Pádraig and sent on the email to us. They said they had surveyed the damage, and like the letterboxes were broken that was put out on the front of the houses were broken off, and they said they found that it was the wind. I would like to get some advice on that, or get legal advice.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with rugby. Andy Farrell is calling on the more inexperienced members of his Ireland squad to prove their worth on international rugby. Billy Burns will make his first start for Ireland when they face Georgia in Sunday's Autumn Nations Cup fixture. The fly half is one of five Ulster players to be named in the starting 15, with Stuart McCluskey set to win his fourth cap. Conor Murray is recalled to the team at scrum half, while Munster centre Shane Daly is the latest player set to make his debut. He's among the replacements. Farrell concedes that there have been some growing pains with his evolving squad this autumn.
You're hoping on the way when you give opportunities that you're hoping for a performance, but always, not always, does performance and opportunity marry up. I suppose the priceless experience for us is going away to two big playing nations like France and England, and learning and feeling the pressure and learning from that experience and making sure that we buckle that for the future.
On to Europa League soccer. Tonight, Dundalk take on Rapid Vienna in the group stage. The Lily Whites are still looking for their first point. Kickoff at the Aviva is at 8 o'clock. In the same group, Arsenal host Malta from 5:55. Arsenal will book a knockout place with a win. Elsewhere this evening, Tottenham face Luton Gretz. Spurs face a big clash with rivals Chelsea in the Premier League this weekend. As well as being concerned about the impact of their busy schedule and what impact it could have on the squad, Spurs boss Jose Mourinho feels there are some players who simply need minutes.
Ben Davies has to start. He didn't play Sunday. Just as an example, good players, good professionals, working very hard for the team.
Leicester can secure a last 32 spot with a win away to Braga in the competition. Brendan Rodgers' side eased to a 4-0 victory over the Portuguese club in the reverse fixture. Under pressure, Celtic boss Neil Lennon takes his side to Sparta Prague, while Rangers host Benfica. Rangers, who lead the Scottish Premiership, can qualify for the knockout stages with a win tonight against the Portuguese outfit, while Scottish Premiership champions Celtic are bottom of Group H with just one win from three games. Neil Lennon's team suffered a 4-1 defeat at home to the Czech opponents earlier this month, and the Parkhead boss is hopeful of getting a more positive reaction in the away fixture.
The reverse game here was probably as disappointing as we've been for a while, so it's important that we motivate ourselves to correct that. And we started the game well and then lost our way a little bit, got very ragged, That can't happen.
3 days of national mourning are underway in Argentina to mark the death of Diego Maradona. The body of the 1986 World Cup winner is lying in state in Buenos Aires, with thousands filing past to pay their respects. President of Maradona's former club, Napoli, say they intend to change the name of their San Paulo stadium in honour of their former captain. Well, last night, Sligo Rovers knocked out Derry City in penalties and will now face Shamrock Rovers in the semi-finals of the FAI Cup this coming weekend. It brings an end to a difficult year for Derry. It wasn't the season that Derry manager Declan Devine was hoping for.
It's been horrendous. It's been horrendous in terms of trying to achieve something. You know, we had two training sessions before we played Shamrock Rovers on their second last game. One of those was after the game down in Cork. We played the two games in 2 days, and then we went straight on the lockdown again. Or you know, we were restricted that we couldn't come out of our homes. So, you know, mentally for the players, it was really difficult. You know, you can do all you want in your kitchen, your living room, but you know, preparing for a cup quarter final was always going to be extremely difficult. And you know, we won session yesterday. I think the players gave a magnificent effort tonight in terms of trying to get through to the semi. And look, we just came up short by a couple of penalty kicks, but at the end of the day, I can't fault one iota of the players tonight.
We'll hear more from Declan Devine tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on this evening's show, in our latest ahead of the game section, Leon Blanche will be looking ahead to the big weekend's Premier League games in England. I'll be discussing the appointment of Fergal Logan and Brian Duher as joint managers of Tyrone with Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald. We'll be getting the vibes in Louth following the appointment of Mickey Hart with LMFM's GA commentator Colm Corrigan. And Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News will cast his views on Declan Bonner's intentions to remain as Donegal manager. And Donegal native Charlie McGeever will join us from Tipperary as the Premier County celebrate Munster's success and look forward to an All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Mayo. That's on the Score tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Finally in snooker, Mark Allen has set up a second round match with China's Chang Boyang at the UK Championships. The Antrim man defeated Jimmy Wilson earlier today, winning through by 6 frames to 1. That's your sport, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, time now for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A considerable number of Donegal farmers could soon find themselves with guns that will essentially be deemed worthless as a result of new EU legislation. This week, the European Parliament voted in favour of bringing in a ban on lead ammunition being used around wetlands. Interestingly, there is currently no mapping of wetlands in Ireland, so defining them will be an issue. Well, this could all have massive implications for an estimated 80,000 farmers across the country who have firearm certificates. To find out more, I've been speaking to the IFA's Health and Safety Executive, William Shortall.
Thanks very much, Chris. Yes, so I suppose the background to the lead ammunition ban is that where spent ammunition released into the environment can be ingested by ducks and other water birds. And then I suppose can in turn die from lead poisoning. There's also a secondary issue then of where birds of prey could pick up these birds that have ingested the lead ammunition and subsequently die from lead poisoning. Now, and I know this is an issue in certain parts of Europe, but it's less of an issue in Ireland.
This ban on lead, is it to use steel as a replacement, steel ammunition? But there's cost implications, and also many farmers will have guns that effectively they won't be able to use.
That's correct. So the viable alternative to lead ammunition is steel ammunition and our steel cartridges. And I suppose lead is a toxic substance, so that if a duck was to pick up some of the spent steel ammunition, it wouldn't have the same effect. But I suppose that creates a number of problems, Chris, for farmers. I suppose the main problem, and it's something that we would have highlighted for the last number of years to the NPWS, is the definition of a wetland, because this is what they want to ban the lead ammunition in wetland. And they use a definition of a wetland called the Ramsar definition. But basically, it is a huge criteria of wetland. It's where a pond, whether it be man-made, a fish pond, a reservoir, a stream, a lake, flash flooding, basically anywhere where there's water. And they have also included a 100 metre buffer zone. So this takes in farmers' yards, farmland, and could mean that 80% of Ireland could be classed as a wetland. And I suppose that's where the start of that, I suppose, where the problems are for farmers and for people who would help farmers control vermin and different species that prey on farm animals and also cause crop damage as well.
Now, many people may be surprised just how many firearms there are in the state. I think the figures I looked at, over 200,000 firearm certificates issued, many of them to farmers. And now, if they're to keep having a licensed firearm, as well as the cost of that certificate, they may now need to get a new gun. We could be talking a couple of thousand euro here. And there's talk of a push for maybe some sort of compensation. Where are we at there?
The issue with the vast majority of shotguns that would be sold and that farmers would own in Ireland would be proofed to fire lead ammunition. And to fire steel ammunition, it requires a higher kinetic energy and more pressure on the barrels of the shotguns, which we don't actually know and haven't been proofed to fire that ammunition. So we don't actually know, are they safe to do it? And to find out that, the firearm or the shotgun would have to be sent to a proof house. Now, there's no proof house in Ireland, and the nearest one is in Birmingham in the UK. And I suppose if we were to look at the cost of that, the transportation cost and the cost of getting a gun reproofed would be somewhere in the region of 350 to 500 euros. And at the end of that process, you might find out that that your gun it cannot withstand the pressures to fire steel ammunition. Notwithstanding that, England, as we know, are leaving Europe at the end of December. So there's surely going to be additional costs with getting a firearm proofed in the UK. Then there's the issue about the buying new firearms. The firearms manufacturers have come out and basically said that they cannot meet the demand that will be there for steel-proofed shotguns. So farmers and people who would carry out this vermin and crop protection for farmers now have the face that they can't actually buy a gun that would be safe enough to fire steel ammunition.
And in terms of the new legislation, when will it come into effect?
And there's at the moment, the legislation has a 2-year lead-in period, which we would think is simply not enough time for people to comply with this these regulations. And we would be looking at 2023 when these regulations will come into force.
So in the meantime, I take it organisations like the IFA will continue to lobby on it. Is there any chance that the legislation could be tweaked?
I suppose this lobbying has been ongoing for the last, I suppose, nearly 3 years. And I suppose there was chance to change this and to alleviate the concerns that we had raised all along with figure definition of a wetland and with the cost of firearms. Because a shotgun for farmers is an essential tool that's used on a farm. So they have a legitimate need and a use to use them. And as you said, not all farmers would have shotguns, and they would rely on gun club members to carry out the service to for them as well. So it will have a huge effect. And the price of these new guns are going to be in excess of 2,000 euros, where a firearm or a shotgun would normally have cost between 500 and 800 euros. So there isn't a huge additional cost being levied against farmers. There was change to tweak these back at the earlier stages when these regulations were coming through the different committees in Europe. But it's lobby now is that how Ireland will implement those regulations is what we want.
With regard to the existing guns, and let's go 2 years down the line, if somebody was to still use one, will there be fines there?
That's another issue as well, is that because there will be a lead ban, people would be in breach of that regulation and could be open to prosecution on it. But I suppose I would say one thing, Chris, that IFA certainly wouldn't recommend anybody to use a firearm that's not proofed to fire steel ammunition. There's a very serious health and safety issue there. that because steel it doesn't react or and requires additional forces, that somebody could be seriously injured using steel ammunition. So we definitely wouldn't recommend anybody to use steel ammunition on a firearm that's not proofed for it.
So in effect, we may have a situation with thousands of guns that will essentially become worthless.
Exactly, yes.
And do we know how many guns would be licensed to farmers throughout the state?
Roughly about 80,000 shotguns.
Right, so if you break it down even per county basis, Donegal, 2-3% of the national population, I mean, we're still talking about possibly a couple of thousand people in Donegal who could be in this situation.
Yes, looking at spending over €2,000 on a new shotgun.
And finally, what's likely to happen in the next few months? I presume the IFA will continue to lobby?
That's correct, yes. We've met with the NPWS on this, and I suppose our concerns are still the same that were there 2 years ago. The definition of a wetland, the availability and the capability of shotguns to fire steel ammunition. And I suppose we will continue to highlight them, but I suppose there has to be proper negotiation on it from the stakeholders to look and to try and alleviate the concerns and objections that we have to it.
And that was the IFA's Health and Safety Executive, William Shortall. In other news, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Ogue has today announced publication of the final version of the PGI, Protected Geographical Indication application, for Irish grass-fed beef submitted by Bord Bia. Minister McConnell-Ogue said that following detailed scrutiny, his department has determined that the application is now in order to be submitted to the European Commission. Meanwhile, a public consultation process is underway in relation to the fourth review of Ireland's Nitrates Action Programme. The current regulations expire at the end of 2021 and a new Nitrates Action Programme must be published at the beginning of 2022. Minister McConnell-Ogue said he is looking forward to hearing from a wide range of stakeholders during the consultation process. And the closing date for receipt of responses is the 15th of January 2021. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And we're going to take a look now at the weather forecast, and Met Éireann are telling us that it will be cold tonight, frosty in some areas with fog returning. However, it will turn somewhat less cold during the night with increasing amounts of cloud and patchy rain moving in to affect some parts. Minimum overnight temperatures -2 to +3 degrees Celsius. Some patchy rain tomorrow morning, but that'll tend to clear. Tomorrow afternoon will bring dry conditions with bright spells, but a few isolated showers. Highest temperatures hitting 5 to 8 degrees Celsius tomorrow. Winds mostly light or moderate, south to southeast in direction. Looking at the main stories, the Tánaiste has told the Dáil there is no question of cross-border travel being banned, but the same restrictions that govern inter-county travel within the state also cover Northern Ireland. Lifford-based GP Martin Coyne says while sealing the border isn't a feasible suggestion, there should be more controls put in place. 8 COVID-19-related deaths have been reported north of the border in the past 24 hours. 442 new cases of coronavirus also reported. The HSC's clinical lead for infection control has acknowledged there is a significant COVID-19 issue in Letterkenny University Hospital, but he says high rates of community transmission in Donegal are affecting the hospital, and the hospital and the community are linked. And the Justice Minister Helen McEntee has been addressing the Dáil about the appointment of Mr. Justice Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court. We're back with news headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of November. The death has occurred of John Rigney, College Farm Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Corrine, County Roscommon. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow, Friday morning, going to St. Enan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny, with private cremation afterwards in Lakeland's crematorium in Cavan. No flowers, please. The death has taken place of Seamus Craig, Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, formerly of Ardra. Seamus will be repatriated to London, where he'll be buried in Lambeth Cemetery at a date to be announced. This will be live streamed. And the death has taken place in Shepherd's Bush, London, of George Devlin, formerly of Marion Park, Strabane. Funeral will take place in London and will be private to family only, please.